Support for this podcast comes from Cielo. Cielo is the world's leading provider of global recruitment process outsourcing and related solutions, spanning the talent lifecycle from employer branding to onboarding. Cielo takes a We Become You approach to RPO that provides their clients with customized solutions that match industries, geographies, and business priorities. To find out more, visit www.cielotalent.com.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 46 of the Recruiting Future podcast. Data analytics is something that has been growing in importance in talent acquisition over the last few years. One company who are really making talent analytics work for them is Cisco. My guest this week is Ian Bailey, Cisco's Global Head of Talent Acquisition Operations. Keep listening to find out what they've done, how they're doing it, and what they're finding out. Hi Ian, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey Matt, thanks very much.
Good to talk to you. Could you just sort of introduce yourself and tell us a bit about who you work for and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Ian Bailey, and I am the Global Head for Talent Acquisition and People Planning Operations at Cisco Systems. And so really what that means is that I lead the organization in Cisco that supports our recruiters and TA organization, and then also all of our workforce planning activities from an operational perspective. So that might be analytics, it could be systems and tools, program management, change management, and all of our sourcing and pipelining activity.
That sounds like a very big job.
It's a lot of fun. It changes every day.
Fantastic. And Cisco is obviously a kind of a large, complex organization. What are the sort of key challenges you have in talent acquisition there?
Yeah, so I think what's happening with Cisco at the moment that's really interesting from a TA perspective is that we are going through a transition as a company where we're starting to move into some of the growth areas like security and cloud and the Internet of Everything versus our kind of traditional operations around kind of networking and routing. And so really as we get into those new growth areas, that's changed the types of talent that we look to attract to Cisco, and it's meant some different challenges from a hiring perspective.
I can imagine. And one of the things that I know is a key focus of yours is data analytics and predictive analytics and workforce planning. And I know you're doing some very innovative things in that space. Tell us a bit about the journey that you've been on with that. What sort of role have analytics played, and how has that sort of developed?
Yeah, sure. So I think something that we've gone on, which is a similar journey, I think, that a lot of companies go on, and everyone's kind of at a different place in that journey, but it's really moving from just being able to kind of be very reactive and looking at data, spending a lot of time manipulating data, to be honest, and, you know, merging spreadsheets, those kind of things, which is where we used to spend a lot of our time from an analytics perspective, or, you know, from the perspective of the analysts, to then starting to try and automate as much as possible, get the data into the hands of the people that need it from a, you know, self-service point of view as much as we can, but also add some kind of rigor around what metrics we look at. So, you know, what is it that we are actually deciding to measure? Why are we measuring those things? Applying targets and really trying to grow our performance in the right direction against, you know, those metrics that we consider to be key performance indicators, having regular ops reviews, you know, that kind of thing. And then once, you know, we laid the groundwork for that and really started to feel like we had some maturity, particularly in the recruiting space, around what we were looking at and why and what behavior that was driving, then I think, you know, we were able to then turn our attention to try to correlate, you know, between the different metrics, understand what impact changing one data point might have on another, or, you know, taking an action and how that might impact something else. So, you know, if we're looking at time to fill and hiring manager satisfaction and quality of hire and some of those things, then if you're moving what the needle in one metric, how does that impact the others? And really, what behavior are you driving to kind of continue to move the organization forward against the right strategy? And so that kind of conversation started to become more and more common, but to do that, you have to lay the foundation. And then I think only then can you start to then look to the future and try to think around starting to kind of scratch the surface around predictive and really starting to influence the business and have more strategic conversations with the business.
So just to dig into that a little bit deeper, what were the key metrics that you were measuring, and what did you actually find to be the most useful of those? Because I know there's lots of debate around this in terms of what metrics actually mean. What did that look like for you guys?
Yeah, and I think it really depends on the organization as well. So I'd never say there's, you know, one metric that's the perfect metric, right? It's going to depend on what you're driving for and what problem you're trying to solve. But from our perspective, you know, I think just like everyone else, we started off by measuring probably what was easier to measure, you know, what we felt we could measure, versus something that was maybe, you know, more strategic. And that's the journey we went on, where we then started to question why we were measuring some of the more simple process kind of metrics like time to fill, and if that was actually something that the business cared about, or did the business care about, you know, as much as they might care about time, is that the most important thing to them? Or is something like the quality of the individual that we bring in and how they fare, you know, 6 months, 12 months into the job, is that more important? If we're losing people within 6 months, right, so early attrition, 6 month attrition, something like that, that's a problem. You know, that's a number we want to keep down, because that is a reflection, I think, not just of how well we're doing from the hiring process, but also actually the hiring manager and the business around the decision that they're ultimately making to hire that candidate. You know, as a recruiting organization, we can present a good slate of candidates, hopefully, but then ultimately who gets interviewed and then hired, we can consult on, but the final decision sits with the business. And so there's dual accountability there as well. And so I think where there's metrics that start to link more closely to what the business is trying to achieve, as well as what we're trying to achieve as an organization, then I think those start to become more meaningful. And then something else that we're looking at a lot more at the moment is candidate experience, you know, the experience that the candidate has throughout the recruitment process, and then how that might impact, you know, their overall decision to come to Cisco, and then also the experience of the hiring manager.
And are there sort of specific technologies that you're using to measure this? What's been the most useful tools you've used to really sort of come up, you know, get to the bottom and come up with this data?
Yeah, so I'd say in terms of the actual, you know, kind of measurement, there's not necessarily a specific technology. If you're looking at experience, then often that comes down to a survey, you know, and so trying to keep that super simple and keep your response rates high and some of those things to get that anecdotal feedback is always, you know, good advice that we've kind of honed over the years to make sure that we can get the best results. I mean, something that we find actually for things like candidate experience and hiring manager experience that is the most useful information is often the free text kind of comments. And obviously they're usually the hardest to analyze. So we've been working more recently with software that will help you analyze those free text comments, start to kind of figure out, was it a positive or a negative statement? You know, what was the sentiment? What was the area of the process that maybe the comment referred to, things like that, to try and dig through that rich data and start to get more quantitative, information from it. And then I think, you know, some of the other things that we've seen success with have just been really around making sure that people have access to the information that they need when they need it. And I know that sounds super simple, but it's really hard often in a large organization, and I hear this from my peers as well, to kind of put the right tools in the hands of the managers or the recruiters, where they can very quickly slice and dice data and get at the information that they need to drive the right conversation. Unfortunately, I think we often spend far too much time kind of getting to the point of producing the data rather than spending our time looking at the data. And something that we've tried to do is really automate as much of that as possible and allow people the time to then really dig into the information, do the right root cause analysis, and then have a meaningful conversation.
And once you've sort of established this data internally, which it sounds like you've done a great job of doing, how do you sort of bring a predictive angle to that? And is there any external data that you kind of throw into the mix to move forward?
Yeah, so I think from a predictive perspective, I would say that's still something we're exploring. I know there's a few companies that have made, you know, some progress in that area, and it's something that we're continuing to kind of play around with around, you know, how can you predict attrition and things like that. I think where we have been able to add value in that area is in bringing in, to your point, the external data around the candidate market, you know, talent pool analysis, that kind of stuff. And then what we've done is we've used that information, you could say in a kind of predictive sense, to help inform site strategy, location strategy in terms of where we hire, both at a kind of low level in terms of, you know, maybe a department manager or functional leader kind of level, but also from a facilities, workplace resources kind of level, where if we've been thinking about opening a new office in a part of Asia, for example, then the way that we've been able to influence those decisions is by doing a full market scan. And, you know, on the surface, it might seem like there's a great talent pool in a particular location that maybe we're looking to expand in. And, you know, maybe it ticks all the boxes from a cost perspective and, you know, from the ability to get office space and things like that. But then when you look at the talent, one example that we had quite recently, we started to realize that although there was, you know, I'll make the number up, let's say like 1 million people out there that were graduating each year that had the requisite skills, when you dug a bit deeper, it became clear that there wasn't the right level of experience or international experience, you know, maybe English language experience, right? Or indeed, experience of working within international organizations. And so the talent pool just shrank and shrank and shrank as we actually started to look more at the type of people we would consider hiring. And the decision was then made to not open an office in that location. And so I think from that point of view, we've been able to really start to kind of influence some of the higher level decisions we're making with the business around, you know, where we expand and where we look to hire in the future.
I mean, that's fantastic in terms of the way that you're able to have an influence on those kind of business decisions. How did you kind of build that influence and that trust? Was it from the robustness of the data, or is it just sort of part of the Cisco culture?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it is a journey. I don't think you know, that happens overnight. I think the quality of the data and being able to speak to the data is an important part of that. You know, really being able to provide kind of quality insights, present them in a clear way, but then also to be able to explain those insights and be able to talk to them knowledgeably. And then I think, you know, it was a kind of drip effect whereby, you know, we worked on this for a couple of areas, and then before you knew it, there were a lot of different parts of the business coming to us requesting this type of information. And so I think, you know, often I find with data is once you actually provide a need and start to get that information out there, then the floodgates can really open, because people often, you know, are desperate for the information. And so that's kind of what we've seen is, you know, in the absence of having this information, the business has just been really glad that we can provide that intelligence and help them kind of navigate through that decision-making process.
Fantastic. And from all the data that you've had and the learnings that you've seen, what's the one thing that's really surprised you that's sort of come out because you're collecting and analysing this data?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting for us is, as a technology company, I think we have our headquarters in San Jose, and obviously a lot of our hiring takes place there. And as the talent market starts to become more and more challenging in that region, then we start to explore, you know, where else can we go to find the right talent, you know, elsewhere in the US and elsewhere in the world. And so there's a lot of assumptions that people tend to have around that. And I think being able to kind of respond to those assumptions and provide really crisp data around that is incredibly compelling. But it's also something that's been a huge gap, you know, potentially in terms of what we can deliver internally in the past, or it's been something that's been very expensive, to be honest, to go out and buy in. And so to kind of grow that muscle in-house and really be able to kind of provide that information across Cisco in a very cost-effective way is what's been kind of really good about what we've been able to do. And then, you know, I think what's been surprising, I guess, is the huge take up of that service and how keen people are now to get that information, you know, when historically it just hasn't been available.
I mean, it's brilliant that that's been so successful for you. I know that a lot of organizations are sort of looking at data and analytics and in this area at the moment. And in some kind of cases, they're sort of struggling to know where the best place to start is. What would your advice be to another organization that's just starting this journey?
Yeah, I think, you know, you don't need to spend a fortune on this. I think what's been interesting about the way that we've grown the team, we do have kind of three or four people aligned to this work now, but what's been interesting about the way that we've grown that team is it really started off by where we had a really kind of senior level sourcer who also had a bit of an analytical mindset, and the combination of those two skills meant that we were able to kind of harness, you know, what their development area and where they wanted to kind of progress with this and start to kind of build some of this ability in-house. We then, you know, added one or two people to the team to kind of augment that and deal with the demand. But really, in terms of how much it might cost just to do a single kind of talent map or talent pool analysis, you know, externally, you're talking maybe 10-15K each time, it becomes very quick to justify that, you know, bringing that expense in and funding one or two headcount instead. But I think what you need to make sure, and this is where we were lucky, I think, but I don't think it's something that other organizations can emulate, is that you do have the right skill set for that. You know, having that blend of someone who really understands the recruitment role and the talent market, but also has a bit of an analytical mindset is kind of a rare combination. And so if you can find someone like that or couple a great sourcer with a great analyst and just, you know, pair them side by side, then I think you need that combination, right? If you're just trying to go at this with a core analyst skill set, then I think you're missing that kind of information and knowledge about the external market. And likewise, if you just go from a sourcing perspective, then you'll struggle to kind of get someone who can maybe tell the story of the data. And so I do think finding people who are keen to do this, to be honest, you know, in a smaller organization, it could be 10 or 20% of somebody's time, you know, in addition to filling requisitions and things. And so, as I say, I really don't think it's a huge investment. It's more about getting someone who has a passion in this area and a bit of a mix of those skills. And then there's a lot of tools out there that are available. You know, often organizations are obviously investing in platforms like LinkedIn. And so starting with something like LinkedIn is a great way to start to scan the market. But then there's a lot of other tools and aggregators out there that are actually free that can start to give you a view on talent pools and doing market scans. It's just then a matter of kind of pulling all that data together and visualizing it, you know, and making it something that an executive can very quickly understand and get a story from.
So what's next for you guys? Where is this going in the future? What does your journey look like over the next sort of 18 to 24 months?
Yeah, so I think something that's been relatively new to my job title, making it quite long now, but is that people planning piece. And really, that's something that we haven't had a kind of enterprise-wide cohesive strategy around at Cisco. In the past, we've had areas that, you know, have done it well, but we haven't necessarily come at it from an enterprise perspective. And so what we're trying to do there is really look at how can we build a lot of this information to help our decisions around workforce planning. As I said, we started to kind of move in that direction with site and location strategy, but then also how do we really start to understand internal supply within our company, i.e. the skill sets of our employees and how they match up to, you know, kind of where we're going from a strategic perspective with roles and the different growth areas that we're moving into. And then how does that compare to the external supply information that we're already, you know, getting quite good at pulling together. And I think as you start to merge those two things together, and start to kind of build an inventory of information, if you like, an internal CRM of your talent internally, then really as you start to go down that workforce planning journey of linking the overall strategy to a workforce plan, then you can start to make that decision more intelligibly around, you know, do we go out to the market and hire in where we have gaps? You know, do we look at building that skill set internally? You know, is it diverse, is it acquire, etc. And kind of how you understand what action to take as part of your talent plan or your people plan, it's critical that you're looking inward and understand the skill sets of your own workforce, and then you can understand also what the external talent market looks like and how those two compare. And so really for us, that's kind of where we're going next, is trying to tie all of those threads together. We're kind of working on a concept that we're calling the talent cloud, whereby we can really build a tool in-house that employees can use to understand where they have personal skill gaps, find learning and development opportunities aligned to those, how they can maybe take like stretch assignments to build up their skills, but also how they can have visibility into the skills of the future for Cisco, and start to kind of manage their own careers and build their own path to any of those future roles that might kind of benefit Cisco in the future. And so as we kind of provide that mechanism for the employees internally, we can then obviously look at how we use that for development and growing skills in-house, and then we can couple that with the external data to inform our hiring strategy.
So final question. I know you're speaking at HR Tech World in London in a couple of weeks' time. Is there anything you're sort of particularly looking forward to, you know, from the event in terms of sort of hearing from other people or conversations that might be happening there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll kind of sit in on the other sessions as well for the data and analytics thread that I'm on, and I just love hearing what everyone else is doing, to be honest, because I think so much of the work that we end up doing is you know, is always driven by what the priority for our own company, and it's events like this that allow us to really understand kind of what everyone else is doing. And there's always, you know, a good few bits of information that I take away that are great ideas that other companies are doing that obviously we haven't thought of. And then I think often it's nice to learn that other people are often dealing with the same challenges that you are and you know, haven't figured it all out yet either. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to hear what other companies are doing, and obviously to share our story and see what people think of that.
Absolutely. Ian, thank you very much for talking to me.
No worries. Thank you very much.
My thanks to Ian Bailey, and also thanks to HR Tech World, who helped set up the interview. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher, and you can find all 45 previous episodes at www.rfpodcast.com. On that site, you can subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about working with me. If you're enjoying the podcast, I'd be really grateful if you could write a review on iTunes. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show. Imagine how fast we could solve the world's biggest problems if more SaaS startups would gain traction sooner. Welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. This podcast is dedicated to sharing experiences from B2B SaaS CEOs who are going above and beyond to deliver change that is noticed. You will hear their secrets and learn what is required to build a SaaS business that the world starts talking about and keeps talking about, and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.